Blog Talk Radio.
YA is not just for young adults anymore. Anyone who reads it knows that YA is timeless and ageless. Celebrating coming-of-age stories, YA Yay celebrates all ages, genders, and genres. Join us as we shout YA Yay. And hello, everybody. I'm your host, Jeff Adams. Welcome to this month's episode of YA Yay. As usual, I'm joined by W.T. Prater. How are you doing today?
I am Groovy Beans.
Excellent. And for our guest today, we're excited to welcome Devin Solani. He is the author of the Zombie Attack series, which, with his debut book, which was Rise of the Horde, actually won the best zombie horror ebook on Goodreads back in 2012. So welcome, Devin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Excited to talk about some zombies.
Right, always excited to talk about that.
So tell us about a little bit about the Zombie Attack series.
Well, it's a young adult series, which kind of separates it. There's obviously a glut of zombie novels out there now, which I contribute to. But I wanted to make something that was for kids and up, but maybe not as noticeable. You know, a lot of adults read it and don't realize there's no bad language in it. There's no excessive violence. They're just enjoying the storyline. So it's set after Zombie Day or Z-Day has already occurred, and our protagonist is 16-year-old Xander McNamara, and he's been trained by his older brother in martial arts and weaponry, including the katana. He gets left at a military base by his brother and has to find his way to the next military base to try to find his brother and reunite with him against a host of problems. When zombies form together into large hordes and just begin knocking over walls and buildings. So it's a fast-paced young adult series that focuses as much on the problems that happen inside of humanity itself as the threat of the zombie menace. So he faces bikers and cannibals and rogue nations rising up and warlords and white supremacist groups. It's kind of all in there. It's fun for the whole family. So along the way, Xander, he kind of takes this young kid named Benji under his wing, who's kind of a little comic book geek, who is desperately in need of defending. And then along the way, they run into a child celebrity turned reality TV star, Felicity Jane. And so the action just keeps ratcheting up as they move further and further down the coast of California, trying to get to Port Hueneme, which they know is where safety is. And along the way, it becomes revealed how the zombie virus kind of started. We don't get all the details to book two, and how it's developed and how they're fighting it and how humanity and people are surviving. And this law versus lawless society that's now cropped up. So it's a real page turner. I do a lot of cliffhanger endings from chapter to chapter, so people don't realize how fast they're going through it. A lot of readers have told me they managed to do it in a single sitting, and they say, "Well, it wasn't that long." And I said, "It's over 85,000 words, so it's a decent size. It's not huge, but yes, you just didn't realize you were plowing through it." So there's three books in this series. And they go all the way up to and explain everything in this world of the zombie apocalypse. So they are Zombie Attack, Rise of the Horde, Zombie Attack, Curse of the Living, and Zombie Attack, Army of the Dead. They're all available exclusively on Amazon and in print and in Audible. They're free on Kindle Unlimited, and book one is right now 99 cents on sale on Amazon. I've had a lot of positivity with the book. I've had a lot of people write in and get into it, and I just wanted to open it up now that I own all the rights again so that everyone could enjoy it that wanted it. I know a lot of YA readers are strapped for cash or they're on a book budget. You know, they only get a certain amount of allowance, some of our younger readers. So I wanted to make it affordable. So all the books are, like I said, book one is 99 cents, and book two and three are $2.99 a piece, and they're all free on Kindle Unlimited. So spread the word.
That's awesome.
Is it just going to be a three book trilogy, or do you see this going further?
I originally just wanted to wrap it up, but I've gotten so much positive feedback from the people that have been reading it that I'm seriously considering opening it up. There's a character in book 2 and 3 named Sonia, and she's a strong female character, and readers just really identify with her. And even though that wasn't, I didn't set out to make one stronger or different than the other, I just had these different characters in mind. People have given me such positive feedback on her that I'm seriously considering just doing a small series about her. So there's definitely room for it. But everything, and this is good to know when you're reading it, every question that you have gets answered by the end of book 3. You understand why it happened, how it started, how they're fixing it, who did what, all those fun cliffhangers. It's nice to know when you read a series that it's not just going to peter out on you. Because sometimes an author will get excited and they'll go 3, 4, 5 into the series with no real clue what they're doing or where they're heading, which is great. Until they just peter out and then they don't give you answers to anything. And it's like watching Lost. You just feel like season after season, I have nothing's been answered. I don't know where I'm at. And now you're telling me it's a dream. You know, come on. That's not working out. So I wanted to make sure I knew what I wanted to do from beginning to end when I started the series. And I feel like I was able to accomplish that and give readers something that's satisfying. So, and it can be, you know, a little scary for the readers when they're going through this and they hit cliffhanger endings on book 1 and book 2. Rest assured, it's all explained if you make it all the way through.
Yeah, there's,
I'm just curious because... I'm just curious because I'm a huge fan of YA, and probably about 70 to 80% of what I read is YA. But finding YA horror books is rather difficult. Why did you decide to go in that particular genre when you were deciding to write these books?
Well, I've always had a love of YA. And before it was something, before I understood that there was, this was the whole genre, I would just go into these things that used to exist called bookstores, and I would just pick up books and read them. And I became obsessed with Harry Potter at one point, and it felt a little odd because I wasn't running around toting it and screaming it at the top of my lungs, but I was loving the books. And here I was, you know, an adult thinking, this feels strange, you know. So I had that background where I had really loved young adult literature anyway. So I don't feel like I should be restricted to just doing one thing or the other. Adult fiction, genre fiction. I wanted to be able to do something that was definitely in the YA genre. And I had this idea and it wouldn't let me go for the Zombie Attack series. So I had just come out of writing the screenplay for the movie Humans vs. Zombies, which had been shot at the time in Texas and was getting ready to come out on DVD and go to television. They did a small limited run in some theaters down south, but it never really took off. So I was just finishing doing all the zombie stuff with that, and I really didn't want to continue writing scripts and working in the Hollywood medium because you just don't get the same level of control. You write something and it gets changed by people and sometimes it gets changed at the last minute and small changes can seriously affect the plot line of a story.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, I want my name on things that I have control over. So I win or lose on my own, you know, if somebody doesn't like something, I'll have to own it 100% because there were things that I didn't like that got changed in the movie. So I set out writing this book, Zombie Attack, and it just could feel the characters and was really into it. And the funniest thing is that I had never seen a single episode of The Walking Dead. And I have heard countless times people tell me, this is a lot like The Walking Dead meets The Hunger Games. Well, I had read The Hunger Games, but I had never seen a single episode or read any of the comics. Mm-hmm. I that wasn't what I had been into. I had read a series by Charlie Higson called The Enemy, but I was afraid when I was writing the movie that if I saw if I started watching a bunch of zombie movies before I wrote my zombie movie, it would influence me too much. Whether I knew it or not, I felt like it would inadvertently influence me. You know, and so I had stayed away from it and come back to find that I think it's kind of something that's essential to the zombie world and to zombie writing, is this idea of how do you deal with humans, the survivors? And wouldn't they ultimately cause more problems, per se, than the zombies themselves? Maybe not in a World War Z type world, you know, but in most zombie worlds, yeah, definitely have to worry about your neighbor, I think, a lot more than the flesh eater coming for you, slowly shambling at you. Rah.
And keeping kind of going down the YA path of things, it looks like some of the other books you've written are more for the adult audience.
Yeah.
What considerations do you take into account when you're crafting a solid horror story for an age group that you consider could be 12 and up or 13 and up?
Okay,
you mentioned already,
really,
of course,
question.
Like you know, you don't have curse words in this book, and
yeah,
the violence is less. But you know, what else?
It's the way you handle
satisfying?
It, for sure.
Yeah.
So when I'm writing an adult horror book, I'm thinking and dealing with things from an adult's perspective. So, say, the recent story I wrote, the recent book I just put out, is a short novel called Saint Death. And it's set around a bunch of college-age kids, kids from resorts or in Cabo San Lucas, and they get sacrificed by this strange cult. So I'm talking about more adult themes in this book. And the emotions are different than they would be for a child or for a young adult. When I came to writing Zombie Attack, I've had people say that didn't realize it was a young adult book. They said, well, I really enjoyed it, but, you know, he's spending a lot of time talking about the main character dealing with his jealousy and getting his anger under control. And it just seemed like he was talking about all these young adult type issues. And I thought, this guy missed the mark, but he got it anyway somehow. It's a young adult book, so the things and the themes that we talk about are learning how, as a young adult, you deal with situations in the world. Xander becomes, spoiler alert, can I say this for book two? Can I say that there's a spoiler alert? He
No, don't do spoilers.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, I guess it's
don't
on the back of
the
book.
Don't be spoilers.
So I'm careful. I won't say more, but he has to learn how to deal with responsibility, with that transition from wanting to play and be young to having heavy responsibility and being in charge of other people and their lives. He's put in a position where, of course, they gravitate towards him because he's kind of a natural leader and a defender and a protector and a moral individual. And there's a lot of morality that's subtly woven into the series where it's about learning how you deal with making decisions and how you deal with making mistakes. Xander makes a lot of mistakes throughout the books, and people have brought that up in reviews as well. God, this guy makes a lot of mistakes for someone who survives. And I thought, yes, because we wanted to show that he grows, that he learns from these situations and how he learns and how he gets over his own failures and shortcomings and grows past them. And I think those are elements that we don't often focus on when you're writing an adult book, because adults should have already come to their own conclusion on a lot of these ideas. So when we see their inner monologue, they're not facing the same types of challenges because they're emotionally more mature, hopefully. Some of us, I guess, don't ever get there. But when I write Xander and I write in the Zombie Attack world, I like to try to go back in my mind and kind of write it from the 16-year-old inside of me who loves things like throwing stars and swords and ninjas and fighting and killer zombie clowns in book two. Zombie clowns, man. What could be more terrifying than that? But see, if you do it, if you paint the picture well and you set a good storyline and a good pace, you don't have to add that extra violence that would be in an adult book, because they don't need it. They're going to insert their own images at an appropriate level for them, you know? Stephen King even says that on writing, about allowing your reader to, giving them enough to work with so that they can put their own images and ideas into your work and see it in their own way. So I try to do that. I'm not saying that I'm the master or that I've accomplished it, but I definitely tried.
I loved, I'm only about 20 pages into the first book, but I'm really enjoying it, and I'm loving the character, particularly of Benji. Could you tell us a little bit about the development of the various characters and if they're modeled after anybody you actually know or knew somebody when you were a teenager, or were they just different elements of yourself that you were pulling out, or how did you go about developing the different characters?
You know, there are times when people are based off of other people that I've known. I'll take something that happened to me or somebody that I know and somehow weave it into the characters. When it came to Zombie Attack, I felt like an element of me was part of Xander. And clearly, as the writer, I'm all the characters, I suppose. Just part of why I love some of the villains as well, I guess, in the book, because they're just slightly... They're like two-dimensional villains on steroids. You know, they're like definitely bad guys. And then they take it to that extra level when they can, you know. But I felt like when I was writing it, that, say, Benji comes from that idea of a good kid who can't really catch a break and can't really stick up for himself. He's not at a point yet where he's strong enough to defend himself against the older kids. I felt like the characters came up more as ideals, that they represent specific ideals. And yes, I've been asked before if Felicity Jane is based off of anyone. It's that idea of a young celebrity, a child celebrity who spent their entire life in the system, that grows into an absolute nightmare. But she somehow starts finding her way back before the apocalypse happens. Yes, there was an element of Lindsay Lohan in that, and that she's based off of the idea. And I think Lindsay represents the model for that, for our generation at least. Younger kids are probably like, "Who? Who's Lindsay Lohan?" I'll be like, "She's like Demi Lovato, but not. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know anything." Somebody told me who Ariana Grande was the other day and showed me.
Demi Lovato is definitely the good girl version of Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, I don't know who the bad girl is now. You know, it's not Zidania. I'm like learning who these new people are, you know. So
yeah.
I don't know. But it was that idea of one of these child celebrities gone completely out of control, and then they're round the way coming back to being a normal human being, having had their childhood and their life stolen from them. So, you know, she's dealing with substance abuse issues. And there's stuff like that in the book where, you know, it's based in the real world as much as it's based in fantasy. You know, and then we get to see the choices they make and how they deal with them. I think that's very YA, in my opinion. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because, I think one of the main themes in Harry Potter too, really. You know, there's all that mystical stuff that goes on, but there's a rooting in the real world of it too.
Yeah, for sure. And in the books, obviously. Because I'm not to get sidetracked, but I agree with the article that describes in detail how Ron just gets shortchanged in the movies. But his character is so much more extraordinary in the book. So, the movies were a lot of fun, the Harry Potter movies, but they definitely cut up the books pretty hard. So, again, when you get into Hollywood, they do what they want. Once you sign those agreements, you're on your own. So, remember that, kids. Everyone thinks, I meet a lot of writers that are like, oh, I so wish I could do that. It's never what we think it's going to be, you know. Sometimes, but very rarely.
Unless you become Stephen King big, and then you become executive producer on everything that's done of your work, and then, you know, you have more control to be able to say, okay, you can X out this part, but this part right here is a necessity.
Right. Well, I mean,
or you become Sherlyn Harris and you say, you know, basically, okay, the books and the TV series are both valid, but you have to understand that they're two different universes. Like, the books are one thing, and the TV
right.
show is something completely different.
Well, so. World War Z was nothing like the book, you know, not that that's YA. Or who approved cutting up Lemony Snicket and making it one movie? Not even Lemony Snicket. Not that I didn't have fun watching the Lemony Snicket movie, but I thought, man, you really shortchanged that guy. Because
mm-hmm.
you could have done all the books and done it in a far more interesting way and really made it fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's difficult. Although I liked how J.K. Rowling managed to convince she sell the movie rights and then keep them from putting Hogwarts into the real world. People were allowed to go into the Hogwarts world in their commercials, but, you know, Harry Potter doesn't walk into McDonald's and order a burger. I guess it would be
mm-hmm.
Mr. really want to do that if we're honest with ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. I certainly wouldn't just arbitrarily sign off the rights to a zombie attack
mm-hmm.
for the movie rights or TV rights if that were to come up. It's a very tempting, but my advice to anyone that even has an offer on the table is get an agent and have them look at it. Because if it's a reputable company, they won't care. And if they're going to treat you well and they're going to do it right, it won't bother them at all that you want to bring your agent.
Right, right. And maybe one day we will get to see zombie attack movies. Who knows? Because you've at least been through the Hollywood thing to kind of know how that works.
I would like it.
Oh, oh sure.
I just want to do it right.
What's coming up for
so.
You with more YA work? Do you, besides the potential?
I have,
you know,
I have a genie
off.
Thing I'm doing. Believe it or
oh.
not, I just haven't released it. I've been playing with it for about 3 years on and off. I want the tone to be right. And it's set in a fictional world around a young boy at this time in his age when he's coming of age and everything gets disrupted. And he has to go live with his grandfather because his father was a banker who gets indicted for whatever he does. It's not really spelled out that way, but the readers will clearly be able to understand why his father, men came in the middle of the night and took him away. It's a very important man. And so he goes back to his father's roots and starts reliving elements of his father's childhood with his grandfather, who had been estranged. And in the process, he... I won't say how or what it is, but he stumbles across a genie. And they get into some crazy adventures together. And it, as things happen and progress, it turns out that he has to save magic because a mistake that he made has put all of magic into danger, into the threat of being completely removed from our world, basically exhausted. So I've been working on this with just kind of a working title for a while. But like I said, I just want the language to feel natural. I want the story to feel a certain way. And I just haven't quite worked out all the kinks yet. So I'm hoping maybe next year, maybe by next summer I'll have it ready. I wish I could give you more than that, but I just don't have it yet. So.
Well, I just want to point out to anybody who's interested that the if you're interested in buying a zombie attack or you're interested in finding out more about Devin, you can click on the link on the episode page for this episode, or you can go to www.writersonlinenetwork.com and go to the YAA page, and you can find sets of information on there as well. So make sure that you buy a copy of Zombie Attack for 99 cents and then follow it up with the other two books for $2.99. Because, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but that sounds like a great little bargain to me. $7 for 3 books, I'll pay it. So, yeah, make sure you go and buy his book. Sorry, Jeff, didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no worries. And we're down to, we're under 5 minutes now, so we're headed towards the end of the show.
Here comes
you mentioned, Devin, that you liked, you were very into the Harry Potter books, and you're very into YA. Any other YA horror type books that you would recommend to the audience?
Well, like I said, Charlie Higson is his name, and he does a series called The Dead that's a zombie series. And, you know, I'd be remiss without mentioning the great Jonathan Mauberry, who did the Rotten Ruin series. He, too, does adult and YA horror. Rotten Ruin is the series. You know, you get. I had someone compare my books to his books, and I was like, the honor is mine. So he's great, if you want that. I don't know a lot of other YA authors other than, say, Jake Bible or... yeah, I think that's kind of it, the people that I work with. So, John Dixon had a fantastic last year called Phoenix Island. It's what they based the TV show Intelligence off of. So, Intelligence didn't last on CBS. It crashed and burned. But John Dixon's an incredible writer. He won the Horror Writers Award, the Bram Stoker, for that as the Young Adult Novel of the Year. So, I had a feeling he would. He's very talented. So people might look into his work as well if they're looking for YA horror.
So is there any genre in YA that you have yet to write in that you really want to, or any that you'll absolutely stay away from? Just curious.
You know, I'm just kind of attracted to fantasy and science fiction and horror at this point. So I'm probably going to stay closer to that and keep my brand centered in that direction. Although that genie story I was mentioning is really just a fantasy story. You know, there's not a great deal of horror in that. It's more of adventure coming of age.
Very cool. Well, we've only got about 2 minutes left. If people want to find you, what is the easiest social media for them to find you on? Do you have one that you have preference on over others?
I spend a lot of time on Twitter. People are always surprised when I follow them back or I talk to them. As long as you're not a jerk, I'll totally talk to you on Twitter, as long as you're not mean to me. I'm also on Facebook a lot. So, and it's just my name. It's Facebook/Devin Saliani. It's spelled out, I'm sure, on the screen now. It's a little complicated, a lot of vowels. And Twitter's the same thing, at Devin Saliani.
And you've got that mysterious silent G thrown in there, too, just to throw people off. What's
That's
the
right.
next thing coming out for you?
Undead LA 2, which is an adult horror novel. It's the last zombie book I'm going to do this year, and I may not even do one next year. I'm just going to spend the time after that focusing on another novel and seeing what I can do about that genie book. So Undead LA 2 will probably come out mid-November, early December. It's three-quarters written right now, and that part's with my editor. So it's more of literary-style short stories with extremely graphic violence and literary tropes, all set in Los Angeles with the horror genre, with zombies. So,
you do seem to like the zombies. What attracted you to the zombies, which I'll give you with 45 seconds to answer?
They're the best. You know what it is? The zombie fans are the greatest people. They just are awesome. And they supported me, and I just kept writing stuff for them, and I enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
Awesome.
Well, Devin, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's been great. Everybody pick up his zombie attack novel, his novel series, and come back and join us next month for another episode of YAA.
Thank you. I will.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.